a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started. Thank you to the chair for giving me the gavel for today's meeting, and I will apologize ahead of time that I will have to be leaving this beautiful committee to go testify in front of a lacking committee from the other side, the dark side. So at some point I will be returning the gavel to its rightful owner. We'll call the meeting to order. I want to welcome all of the people on the internet. Please turn off your cell phones or any other electronic devices. The chair needs to check on that herself. Secretary can call the roll.
Representative Kamak.
Here.
Cronin. Greenfield. Kirschman.
Here.
Miller. Nelson.
Here.
Parsley.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Rounds.
Here.
Stalzer.
Here.
Westra.
Here.
Consett.
Here.
And Solem, we do have a quorum.
We have a quorum with the majority of the members elect present. So we shall begin.
Move approval of minutes.
Second.
I was just going to get there, Mr. Way ahead of time. Well, for that reason alone, I'm going to slow my tone down greatly. The minutes have moved for approval by Representative Rounds, seconded by
Representative Solem.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. The minutes are approved. Would the pages like to come up, please, and introduce themselves? That would be great.
Okay. Hi, I'm Leslie Culp. I'm a senior at St. Thomas More High School in Rapid City.
And I'm Caitlin Peterson. I'm a senior at Sturgis.
Wonderful. We've got girls from the west end of the state, and my daughter goes to St. Elizabeth Seton, so you curry favor with me. All testifiers, please sign in, and so we can make sure that we are on that point. Handouts will be distributed by the pages, and please remember to direct your questions towards the chair lady of the committee. Now we'll go into consideration of bills. I now open the hearing on Senate Bill 61. Senate Bill 61 allow licensed insurance agents to act as consultants in certain circumstances. Good morning and welcome, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Randy Moses, Department of Labor and Regulation, Division of Insurance. Senate Bill 61 comes to you to try and resolve an issue that's quite frankly been around since my early days in the Division of Insurance going back to the 1980s, and there's always been a issue of consultants and agents and when commissions could be garnered or that an agent or a consultant could charge a fee. We've attempted to address it through various means through the years, and we issued a bulletin back in 06 trying to address the issue. That didn't work, and Director Scheiber then decided, well, let's try and figure out a way to resolve this. So we formed an ad hoc working group of representatives from the insurance industry, really a wide cross-section. We had the life and health, property casualty folks. We had the agencies, the agents, the company folks. We really had a large cross-section of individuals trying to work to figure out a solution to this that made sense. And what we came up with is Senate Bill 61. And it does a few things. First of all, it, for the first time, outlines that if you're going to be an insurance consultant, you need to be licensed as an insurance agent. That was a unanimous position of all the folks at our working group. Another thing, it for the first time outlines that consultants can collect fees. Kind of brings us up to more modern times. Insurance has changed an awful lot over the years, and there's more and more consulting going on just due to the way the marketplace has evolved. Also, it delineates that you can't double dip. You can't be a consultant for a person on a policy and collect a commission, and then also turn around and charge a fee. So we want to make sure the consumers are protected. They're not being double billed. This takes care of that. Also, it provides some protection for consumers in that if, in fact, you are going to charge a fee as a consultant, that you do so pursuant to a written agreement with that customer. And that's also required under this bill. We did have one amendment on the other side. Allstate was concerned, since they do have captive agents, exclusive agent agreements, they want to make sure that they can continue doing that and that their agents would be commissioned only if they wanted them to be that way. And we put that on the other side, so we're good with that. So we think this is a good piece of legislation that will resolve some longstanding issues that have been out there in the marketplace, and we would encourage your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moses. Now, further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 61.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Justin Smith, and I am the registered lobbyist for the American Council of Life Insurers. ACLI is the Life Insurance Trade Association. Excuse me. And we would just like to thank the Division of Insurance for working with the life insurance industry on this bill. And we would just rise in support and say we have absolutely no issues and think it's good legislation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Smith. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 61. Further testimony? Seeing none, we will go to opponent testimony on Senate Bill 61. Seeing none, I will waive your right to a rebuttal to nobody that showed up to go against you. I will open this up for committee questions. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I do have a question for Mr. Moses. And Madam Chair, if I may. I've worked with a lot of insurance agents through my years, and 90%+ of them, no problem, very upstanding individuals. What I'm worried about are those every now and then bad eggs that are out there. What is the oversight on them being a consultant? Is it similar to that of the regular regulations on the sale, or what type of oversight do we have?
Madam Chair. The oversight would be identical. Since we did put in the legislation that would need to be licensed as an agent, all the applicable licensing requirements and all the other requirements as far as oversight, including examinations and penalties and everything, would apply equally to consultants. So those consumer protections would remain intact for these consultants.
Proceed.
And I'd like just to follow up on that. So if there is a situation where I have a problem with the consultant agent, I have the same ability to go through a process to the Division of Insurance, file a complaint, and this person, if found to be below standards, could lose their license?
Absolutely.
Any further questions? Yes, Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm looking at page 4 of the bill. Section 3, and this is simply a question as to whether this is drafted properly, because on page 3 on line 12 it says section 2 that chapter 58-30 be amended by adding thereto a new section to read as follows. You don't see that language after section 3. It doesn't reference any particular chapter of code. Does that need to be added in?
Representative, the intent certainly was to amend Chapter 5830, because that is the agent licensing chapter, and to the extent that we didn't do that, that would be a technical error.
Proceed. Yes. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I think I can answer that question. As Code Counsel, I assign chapters and sections to particular sections of the code where you don't see a reference like this. It would be my practice to consult with the Division of Insurance and where it should be, and we would reach an agreement. There's no need for an amendment to clarify that.
Thank you.
Does that clarify for you, Representative? Good. Further comments by the committee? Seeing none, the chair now closes the public hearing portion of Senate Bill 61 and opens it up for committee discussion and or action. Representative Rounds.
Madam Chair, I move to pass on Senate Bill 61.
Second. And moved by Representative Rounds and seconded by Representative Solem and Westra in tandem. So the motion in front of us, well, first comments?
Yes, Madam Chair. My line of questioning was the oversight, and I think that is covered. I think our agents in this state, for the most part, do a very good job, and they should have that ability to serve as a consultant. I'm surprised we haven't allowed this in the past. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand is do pass on Senate Bill 61. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Kamak.
Aye.
Cronin. Greenfield.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller. Nelson.
Aye.
Parsley.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Westra.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
And Solem.
Aye.
We have... Okay. We have 12 yeas, one excused.
Thank you. Senate Bill 61, having received a majority... Yes. Okay. We've got a move consent by Representative Parsley and seconded by Representative Rounds. Any comments? Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Oh, we need to vote on the bill. I apologize. I got ahead of myself. Secretary, I'll call the roll.
We already did vote on the bill.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's see. We have moved on the motion for consent, so we're all good. There we go. Now we will move on. We will now open the hearing on Senate Bill 62. Senate Bill 62 has revised certain requirements regarding when an insurer's certificate of authority may be revoked. We will have proponent testimony. Senate Bill 62.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Joshua Anderson, and I'm here this morning on behalf of the Department of Labor and Regulation Division of Insurance. Senate Bill 62 comes to you this morning out of a situation that's arisen over the last several years in South Dakota. What the Division of Insurance found is in the rare circumstance where an insurance company's certificate of authority is revoked to operate in this state, they still may have some policies that are in place. So you'd have South Dakota insureds with South Dakota insurance contracts, but you'd have an insurance company that the Division of Insurance no longer had basically any oversight over because they did not have a certificate of authority in the state. We didn't think that that was a good thing because we have insureds without protection. So what Senate Bill 62 does is it gives the director the opportunity in that circumstance to order the movement of those policies to a licensed insurer that is still operating and would be in compliance with all of our regulations in this state. We did have one concern expressed on the Senate side. They just State Farm Insurance wanted to make sure that procedurally, the director could never order this prior to all the appeals being exhausted so that license revocation would be final. It was amended in committee to address that concern, and we were fine with that. So that is what the bill before you is, and I would gladly stand by for any questions.
Thank you, sir, for your proponent testimony on Senate Bill 62. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 62? Seeing none, we will now take opponent testimony on Senate Bill 62. Opponent testimony. I like the way you're thinking. I will now offer the opportunity. Well, you don't need a rebuttal. It's time for committee questions. Questions from the committee? Seeing none, the chair now closes public hearing portion on Senate Bill 62 and opens it up for committee discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Representative Kamak.
I move to pass.
Second.
It has been moved by Representative Kamak and seconded by Representative Westra on Senate Bill 62. Do pass. Any comments? Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand is Senate Bill 62 do pass. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Kamak.
Aye.
Cronin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Cushman.
Aye.
Miller. Nelson.
Aye.
Parsley.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Westra.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
And Solem.
Aye.
We have 12 yeas, one excused.
Senate Bill 62, having received a majority of the vote for the member present, passes.
Okay.
Representative Cushman has moved consent, seconded by Representative Greenfield. Any discussion? Wonderful. So we are moving on consent for Senate Bill 62. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Senate Bill 62 will be assigned to consent. We will have Representative Kamak. Will you take it to the floor? Representative Peterson, will you take it to your caucus? And a little housekeeping before on Senate Bill 61. Representative Rounds, will you take it? And Representative Parsley, will you take that to your committee? Wonderful. Thank you. We'll now open the hearing on Senate Bill 60. Senate Bill 60 revised certain definitions regarding the appraiser's certification program. Good morning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Honorable Chair and members of the House Commerce and Energy Committee, for the opportunity to testify on behalf of the Department of Labor and Regulation in support of Senate Bill 60. I am Sherry Brand, the Executive Director of the Appraiser Certification Program. The Appraiser Certification Program is responsible for certifying, licensing, and registering real estate appraisers and the registration and supervision of appraisal management companies doing business in the state. Senate Bill 60 has been introduced to revise certain definitions. Section 1 defines appraisal practice, which is currently not defined in statute. This will provide the appraiser certification program jurisdiction and authority for effective supervision of appraisers that perform appraisal review and appraisal consulting assignments. Appraisers perform appraisals, reviews, and consulting assignments. These services are defined as appraisal practice. These assignments have nationally recognized development and reporting requirements that an appraiser must follow when performing these services. Currently, it is not crystal clear that the department has jurisdiction when an appraiser performs a review or a consulting assignment. Adoption of this statute will clearly grant the department jurisdiction to require appraisers to comply with the national standards when performing reviews and consulting assignments. Sections 2 and 3 amend Chapter 3621B and 3621D to revise the definition of appraisal in statute to conform with the nationally recognized definition in the Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice, known as Uniform Standards, and the definition in the Administrative Rules Regarding Appraisers. The Department is responsible for adoption and enforcement of the Uniform Standards. It is important to have consistent definitions in statute and administrative rule. Adoption of this statute will provide a definition in statute, as in the administrative rule, that is consistent with the nationally recognized definition in the Uniform Standards. The Appraiser Certification Program Advisory Council unanimously recommended the legislation. The Department of Labor and Regulation asks for your support of Senate Bill 60. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 60.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Randy Vance. I'm a licensed real estate appraiser here in Pierre. I represent the Professional Appraisers Association of South Dakota. We consist of approximately 160 appraisers within the state, and we support this legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Vance. Any further proponent testimony? Senate Bill 60.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Terry Leibel. I am a certified general appraiser here in Pierre. I am here representing the South Dakota chapter of the American Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers, basically the wing of the appraisal organization here representing in the state. I'm here to state that we completely support this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further proponent testimony, Senate Bill 60. Seeing none, we'll now hear opponent testimony to Senate Bill 60. Seeing none for opponent testimony, Senate Bill 60. At this time, I'll open it up for committee questions. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for I don't know who wants to answer it. If we pass this piece of legislation right now, there are currently realtors out there that sell a lot of property and will give an opinion of the value of property, but it's they're not certified appraisers. Will this prohibit them from still giving a broker's opinion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Peterson, no, it will not affect the real estate agents or the real estate commission's licensees at all. Thank you.
Follow up. Representative Rounds.
If I may follow up on that question, under the new definition defining appraisal practice, is it, I'm looking at the language in here, a real estate agent is given an opinion, but they're not charging for that opinion. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, I don't believe that I can answer that. Representative Rounds, I think Melissa Miller from the Real Estate Commission could answer that question.
May I ask Ms. Miller that question?
Proceed. Yes. Welcome.
Madam Chair.
And if I may, I'll restate the question. I'm just curious, in follow-up of that other question, a real estate appraiser or a real estate agent does not charge for the opinion of value, but they do charge for the sale of a home. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And when I'm reading this chapter, I'm not seeing anything in performed by acting as an appraiser. I don't see anything in line of payment. In your opinion, would an appraiser or a real estate agent be included in this definition or not?
Madam Chair, as far as we have passed that legislation and have defined what a broker price opinion is. So there are definitely two different things there. You know, you do charge to get an appraisal. We don't regulate a broker price opinion as far as a fee. Does that answer your question?
Representative Peterson, you have a question?
Yes. A follow-up, if I may, on that. In my area, every once in a while you'll see partnerships that dissolve, and they'll have a real estate agent that's also a farm auctioneer, and he has a broker's license, but he's not a certified public appraiser. But they will use him to come out and appraise the value of the farm equipment. So when they have the division between the brothers, it's equitable. Will they still be allowed to do that?
Yes, Madam Chair. Yes, real estate agents will still be able to come out and give a broker price opinion or a comparative market analysis.
Yes, and they can charge for that. They do charge for that.
Madam Chair, yes, they can. Some do, some don't.
Any other questions from the committee at this time? The chair now closes public hearing portion of Senate Bill 60 and opens it up for committee discussion and or action.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Move do pass.
It's been moved do pass by Representative Solem and seconded by Representative Kirschman. Any comments?
No, thanks, Madam Chair.
No further discussion.
Representative Parsley?
Oh, you look so much alike. Seeing no further discussion, the question at hand on Senate Bill 60 is due pass. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Comock?
Aye.
Cronin?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Kirschman?
Aye.
Miller? Nelson?
Aye.
Parsley?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rounds?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Westra?
Aye.
Consett?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
12 yeas, 1 excused.
Senate Bill 60, having received a majority of the vote from the members present, passes. Representative Stalzer, would you carry this to our group, please? And you're sneaky. Move consent on Senate Bill 60. Representative Stalzer, seconded by Representative Rounds, the dynamic duo. Senate Bill 60 will be moved to the consent calendar. Those opposed, say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Aye.
Aye. Just wanted to lump you all in together. Senate Bill 60 moves consent. We'll now open the hearing on Senate Bill 66. Senate Bill 66 revised the style and form of certain provisions to amend certain provisions to streamline and clarify and to repeal certain obsolete and unnecessary provisions pertaining to the Real Estate Commission. That's quite a title. We will open up for proponent testimony on Senate Bill 66. Welcome back.
Good morning again, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Melissa Miller, and I'm the Executive Director for the South Dakota Real Estate Commission. Governor Dugard asked each department to review its statutes, rules, and policies with the goal to reduce, shorten, and simplify regulation. The South Dakota Real Estate Commission has held several meetings over the past year to discuss this issue. So Senate Bill 66 is a cleanup bill. There's clarification of the language, gender cleanup, and repealing of obsolete law. I just want to add that we worked with the South Dakota Realtors Association to complete this legislation, and I appreciate your support of Senate Bill 66, and I will stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 66. Proponent testimony on Senate Bill 66. Seeing none, we will now hear opponent testimony on Senate Bill 66. Seeing none, I will go to this point, committee questions. Committee questions on Senate Bill 66. No question at this time. The chair now closes the public hearing for Senate Bill 66 and opens it up for committee discussion and or action.
Second.
It has been moved on Senate Bill 66 by Representative Rounds, seconded by Representative Westra. Do pass. Any comments? Seeing none and no further discussion, the question at hand is Senate Bill 66. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Kamak.
Aye.
Cronin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller. Nelson.
Pass.
Parsley.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Westra.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Senate Bill 66.
12 yeas, one excused.
Thank you. Senate Bill 66, having received a majority of the vote from the members present, passes.
Second.
Senate Bill 66 has been moved consent by Representative Kamak, seconded by Representative.
Second.
We've pulled it off of consent.
Madam Chair, this is a 19-page bill, and it's got a lot of lines. I think we should have it on the floor, otherwise somebody else will pull it. Thank you.
Representative Nelson seconded that. So it's been moved, pulled off consent by Representative Brown, seconded by Representative Nelson. We are taking it off consent. Representative Nelson, would you like to carry this?
I think my good colleague is more experienced.
All right. We'll go with Representative Rounds. Representative Parsley, would you carry this to your group? Wonderful. Thank you. Next item on the agenda, Senate Bill 111, amend provisions of the Uniform Commercial Code relating to electronic funds transfers and to declare an emergency. We will now take public testimony on Senate Bill 111. Representative, welcome.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the Commerce Committee, we have before you a bill brought by the Banking Association, represented by Mr. Kinnicky, who will be able to answer any of your hard questions. This bill basically fits state consumer banking, consumer protection laws with federal banking protection laws. With the Dodd-Frank bill in 2010, we passed a law, a federal law, that governed remittance transfers that are electronic fund transfer agreements that move out of country. In my mind, I'm thinking of someone that's sending money back to a family that's in another country electronically. And it's a consumer protection law that says you got to tell them what the exchange rate is and you got to tell them what the fees are. That was a federal 2010 law governing transfers from in the country to a receiver out of the country. So previously that they must not have been covered. When we amended state consumer protection laws to fit with that, we apparently the Uniform Commercial Code, which most states implement, including ours, we missed something. And so this amendment comes back and fixes that miss and says there are remittance transfers that are not electronic fund transfer agreements, and those need to be subject to South Dakota state law. Okay? That's what this amendment does. With that, I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative Mickelson. Now we will have further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 111.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Brett Kennecke. I'm a lawyer from Peer, a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Bankers Association, and we asked Representative Mickelson to sponsor Senate Bill 111 in the House. Senate Bill 111 comes from the Uniform Law Commissioners. The Uniform Law Commissioners, and we have members of that national body from South Dakota here. The Speaker is a member. Representative Feinstein's a member. I think Representative Lust is also a member. Work on laws that and matters that affect state law that need to be uniform or could stand to be uniform between the states. The most significant of those is the Uniform Commercial Code, and that's codified at 57A of our state laws. What we found out last year is that when Congress did pass Dodd-Frank, Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, they made some changes to what a thing that's called the Electronic Funds Transfer Act. That's federal law. In respect of these remittance transfers, which as Representative Mickelson described, are electronic transfers of money out of this country for whatever reason. We also had in this state then coverage under the Uniform Commercial Code in Section 4A, specifically Section 108, for governing remittance transfers, which were not covered by the Electronic Funds Transfer Act. And as I've explained to some of you, the two laws worked in synchronicity such that every transaction had at least some law governing it, whether it was federal or state. Along comes Dodd-Frank and takes away that synchronicity such that right now there's a vacuum in the law. Senate Bill 111 does not pick winners and losers. It simply says this is the law that applies. In the event of a mistake or a dispute between the person sending the remittance transfer and the entity handling that, whether it's a bank or somebody else, either state law or federal law applies. I've asked the pages to give you a short handout, and you'll see a chart on the second page, which is the most descriptive part. And if you'd care to read it, it would explain which law would govern a dispute about the funds transfer, whether it was under the federal law or state law. So Senate Bill 111 is exactly how it was proposed by the Uniform Law Commissioners. Currently, this bill is under consideration in 13 states, or that was the last I heard, and it's already been enacted in California, New York, and Ohio. By passing Senate Bill 111, we'll keep our Uniform Commercial Code uniform with the rest of the country, which is also a goal that the Bankers Association has. Finally, you'll see on the back page of the bill, page 2, where we've got an emergency clause. Originally, this law was to be implemented on February 7th of this year. And if we were to wait till July 1st, that vacuum then would still exist for that time period. On January 22nd, after the bill was introduced, but before you consider it, the date for implementation was delayed indefinitely, and the reason for that was to give legislatures a chance to pass this law in order to eliminate the vacuum. So I've kept the emergency clause in the bill. I don't know when they're going to actually implement the rule, but my opinion would be for your consideration, if we're going to fix this, let's just fix it and have it become effective as soon as possible so that we're not waiting and don't have that time period. I'll be glad to try and answer any questions you've got, but I'd certainly, before I relinquish the stand, ask for your support for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 111. Seeing none, we will now entertain opponent testimony on Senate Bill 111. Opponent testimony on Senate Bill 111. This time I will open it up for committee questions. Seeing none, the chair now closes the public hearing portion in Senate Bill 111 and opens it up for committee discussion and or action. Representative Parsley.
Second.
It's been moved on Senate Bill 111 by Representative Parsley and seconded by Representative Solem. Any comments?
I think the proponents have done a good job of explaining why we need to do this and why it needs to be an emergency, and we certainly don't want electronic funds transfers that may have problems internationally not being able to be rectified.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the question at hand is Senate Bill 111. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Kamak.
Aye.
Cronin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Parsley.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Westra.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
And Solem.
Aye.
We have 13 yeas.
Senate Bill 111, having received a majority of the vote of the members present, passes.
Second. Two-thirds vote.
Yes, it's an emergency clause, so it cannot go on consent, but I like your exuberance there. This concludes our business for the day, so the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Madam Chair.
Before you close the committee.
Yes.
I would like to thank you on your operation of the committee today. I was very smooth. We got out of here earlier today than any other committee meeting. We applaud you. Thank you.
If I may, Madam Chair, again, you did a nice job today, but I do, for those listening, want to just say that not all Democrats look alike.
Duly noted.
Madam Chair.
Representative Solem.
One order of business that we will actually discuss next Monday during our committee hearing is what do we want to do for summer studies? And right now, I know we've all received a copy of the interim study request form on our desk, but I've asked the page to hand out an additional copy just as a reminder. You know, and this generally has to do with some things that we've maybe discussed here in the committee process. I know we handle a large array of different subjects. And so this is just to start that the gears turning a little bit and come up with some suggestions for what we may want to have a summer study on next year or this coming summer. So just as a friendly reminder, and we will discuss that on Monday after we finish our bills. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Solem. Also, Representative Peterson, will you carry Senate Bill 111 to your caucus? Wonderful. Thank you. The chair will now entertain a motion to adjourn. It's been moved and seconded by Representative Greenfield and Representative Rounds. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are adjourned.